Good evening. As announced, the scripture reading is from Psalm 60, verse 4. Psalm 60, verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah.
Good to be with you again tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence this evening. Wonderful verse in the Bible that was just read for us, Psalm 60 and at verse 4. We'll get to that in just a minute. We again appreciate everyone's presence here tonight. Announcement has been made about the upcoming class. I'm going to give that a quick plug again in January on the 3rd. Every Thursday at 10 o'clock, we'll be meeting. And I think if you attend the class, that you'll enjoy that kind of setting. Not because of the class that is taught. Hopefully you enjoy the class. It will be edifying to us, hopefully. But just the setting of a few Christians getting together in a more casual kind of atmosphere is very enjoyable. A lot of times in gospel meetings, I'll go to places where they have such classes. And some of the times they want me to teach the class, some of the times just sit in the class. But it's always very edifying and enjoyable. And so hopefully that will be the case with our class. So as we've been saying, we know that many of you won't be available at that particular time. You have day jobs and things, and so we understand that. But if you can make it to those 10 o'clock classes, then I think that you'll enjoy the class. So we're looking forward to that. I might say just with regard to our website, there are some things in the works that we're discussing and thinking about and talking about that we want to do to enhance our website. Dan Brown is already doing an excellent job. I think we have a good website, but we always want to improve. And we're thinking about adding things like a podcast and maybe a blog and having all of that on our website. And so a lot of people are now going to the web, of course, and searching various sites. And so hopefully we can generate some interest with regard to that. And so you might want to continue to talk up our website as we try to improve it. All right, Psalms chapter 60 and at verse 4. We're not going to take a lot of your time tonight. But once again, the record says you have set up a banner for those who fear you. And as we think about this banner under consideration, we realize that the language here in Psalm 60 at verse 4 really has a military connotation to it. And we think about a banner, really, we would refer to it as a flag. And of course, a flag represents territory and position. It is a rallying point for soldiers who are on the battlefield. And one of the things we should recognize as Christians, and I think most of us do, is that we are involved in an ongoing spiritual battle. There's no question about that. There are many passages that speak to that. Let's just read a couple of them very quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn your Bibles over there, and notice the language that Paul uses in this familiar passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And at verse 3, we'll read verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and at verse 3, Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And so clearly he had war on his mind. He realized that we are involved in a spiritual battle. It is not a physical battle. We don't have bombs landing around us and bullets flying past our head. It's a spiritual battle. We are fighting against principalities and powers. In fact, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. I think we're all familiar with this passage as Paul describes the armor of God. And beginning at verse 10, this is what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 6. And at verse 10, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And Paul, in almost all of his writings at some point in time, he'll talk about the idea of being strong. We have to be strong in the Lord because we are in a battle. And we're fighting against the devil. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. And so we recognize, and again, we could read other passages, but there's no question that we are in warfare. You don't put on an armor just for any reason. You don't put an armor on when you go into the grocery store or just walk into the mailbox or something like that. You put on armor when you know you're going to be in a battle. And that's the point of it. Every day we are in a battle. And again, we're fighting against the devil and we're up against all of his schemes. And if we're going to survive, we have to put the armor on. And so when we think about Psalms 60 and the idea of having a banner or having a flag, that of course is applicable to us because we are involved in a warfare. And so we need to do what the psalmist says. We need to lift up our banner. We need to lift up our flag. And in this battle that we are engaged in, our flag, of course, is Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 for a moment. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Listen to what the Hebrews writer has to say about Jesus. At verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then he says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is our flag. You look to the flag for comfort. Yeah, and Jesus is that for us. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, there's 2 points I want to make about that, about Jesus being our flag. A flag, first of all, symbolizes victory. As long as the flag is flying, we know that we're winning the battle. We know that we're not defeated. We have victory. And certainly as Christians, one thing that we can be sure about, because we have this flag, Jesus Christ, we understand that no one can take our flag down. That no one can defeat our flag. And so we realize that we have victory in Christ. And certainly as Christians, we are victorious. Paul in Romans chapter 8 says that we're more than conquerors. And we ought to think about that. And we ought to appreciate the fact that in Jesus Christ, as long as our flag is flying, we have victory. And there's passage after passage that accentuates this victory that we have. Perhaps one of the most familiar ones is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn your Bibles over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul talks about 3 things we have victory over. But let's go ahead and read some of the context here, beginning down at verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and at verse 50. He says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 3 things he talks about there that we have victory over. We have victory over law. And, of course, when you think about the writings of Paul, you realize that he's talking about a law that demanded perfection. He's talking about the old law, the law of Moses. As we have said many times before, if you want to go to heaven, you can't be under that kind of law. Because we all sin from time to time. We fall short of the glory of God. If we were under a law that demanded perfection, there's no way any of us would make it. But through Jesus Christ, our flag, we have victory over that. Because that law has been replaced, and now we're under a better law. Now we're under the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while indeed the gospel is law, even though some deny that, even though it's law, it's not a law that demands perfection. That's the ideal, and all of us should strive to live without sin. We should never want to sin, but we do have a law that we're under that allows us to rectify the situation when we do sin. Remember, we have an advocate. It's our flag again, Jesus Christ. We have an advocate with the Father. So that when we sin, we can pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness. And we don't have to go before the throne of God alone. We have that advocate, Jesus Christ, who goes with us. And He intercedes for us. He pleads on our behalf. And so we're under a better law. We have victory over that kind of law. And so not only that, but he mentions here that we have victory over sin. Where there is no law, there is no sin. And generally speaking, when we think of passages, the couple of passages that state that truth, we think that what Paul is simply saying is that without law there can't be any sin because sin is a violation of law. And that's probably a pretty good interpretation of those statements. But I know at least in the book of Romans, when Paul talks about that, he's really talking about something a little deeper. He again is talking about the kind of law I just described, a law that demands perfection. If we are separated from that law, if we are freed from that law, then we don't have to live and dwell in sin. Our sin can be taken care of, and therefore we can maintain a fellowship with God. And that is truly the case with all of us who are Christians. We have victory over sin, not because we never, ever, ever sin. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. So we're all sinners. Hopefully, we're not actively involved in sin. We're not sinning habitually. We're not living and dwelling in sin. But we all sin from time to time. But we have victory because we live under a law, again, that makes provision for our sins. As long as we're willing to repent of our sins and ask God for forgiveness, then we have victory over sin. And as a result of all of that, having victory over law and having victory over sin, Paul says we have victory over death. We don't have to worry about dying. Revelation chapter 14 at verse 13 emphasizes that those who die in the Lord are blessed. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from henceforth. Like the world can't understand that kind of statement. The world thinks that death is the worst thing that could ever happen. The fact of the matter is, for a Christian, we realize that when we die, we go to a better place. We realize really, when you stop and think about it, that when we die, our victory is solidified, really. When we die in Christ, the devil can't have his way with us anymore. We never have to worry about sin. We never have to worry about temptation. We don't have to worry about all of the problems that this life has to offer. We really have victory in death. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. But as Christians, we don't fear that. It's all because of the victory we have. And we have victory, and we know we have victory as long as our banner is held up, as long as our banner continues to fly. As long as the flag is still there, we know that we have victory. But I tell you, the flag represents something else. It symbolizes identification. Like we should be willing to identify with our flag. As Americans, we have no problem with that with regard to the American flag, do we? But we're proud of that. We're proud of being citizens of the United States. And such should be the case when it comes down to our flag. Let me ask you, are you ashamed to be identified with Jesus? You should want to hold up the banner. It's only when Jesus is held up that individuals can see our flag and want to be drawn to Him and be saved. You might remember there are many passages that speak of that Jesus said that when He is lifted up, that He would draw all men to Himself. And of course the Bible tells us in a few different Gospels where He says that He is speaking of His death. And of course He was talking about being lifted up on a cross. And that's the only way people could be drawn to Him. But we ought to be lifting Jesus up so that people can continue to see Him. How is it that we lift up our banner? How is it that we demonstrate that we're not at all ashamed, that we are associated with and we are identifying ourselves with our flags and we want everybody to see it? How do we do that? The obvious way, first of all, is with our mouth. We preach Jesus. We tell as many people as we can about our Savior. That's the only way that we can draw people to Him. Romans chapter 10. Turn your Bibles over there. I know it's a familiar passage, but this is the point that Paul emphasizes very strongly in this context. If we had time, we could read the whole text. And Paul makes a contrast between the old law and the new law. And being saved under the law of Moses, he basically teaches what we have been talking about, how that it is impossible to be saved by that law. You have to do the impossible because you have to live without sin completely and totally without any mistakes, without any missteps. But then he begins to describe the gospel, the word of faith. And he says, basically, you don't have to do the impossible. You don't have to go up into heaven and bring Christ down from above. You don't have to go to the depths and bring Christ up from below. You don't have to do the impossible. Because that's the nature of the gospel. What you do have to do is obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only way that is possible for people to do that, of course, is to know something about the gospel. They have to hear the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's what Paul gets into in Romans chapter 10. If you drop down to about verse 11 or so, he says, "For the scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But watch, he says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching?" And I understand the context here, and that he probably is referring to the apostles, at least originally, that they were called specifically, directly from Jesus to go out and preach the gospel of Christ. But at the very least, this is applicable to all of us. We're all under the Great Commission. We all have to go out to all nations and preach the gospel and baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all are under that command. And the truth is, that's the only way people could ever be drawn to Jesus. We have to lift our flag up. We have to lift up our banner, so that people can see Him and want to be drawn to Him. And so we need a preacher. How can they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they've been sent? How, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not at all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah has said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. How is it that we lift our banner up and we show people that we are associated with Jesus? It's by opening up our mouths and preaching Christ. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 just for a moment. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And beginning at verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We've refused to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." And he says, "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." And if our flag is hidden, that results in people perishing. And we know a lot of people, in fact, the majority of people are perishing. And we know that really is the reality. He says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." There's the answer. Many people out there are blind, are blinded. They're blinded by the devil. How do we rectify that? We preach not ourselves, we preach Jesus. We open up our mouths and speak. We lift up our royal banner. That's how we must do that. Look down at verse 13 then, 2 Corinthians 4, and at verse 13, Paul says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke." We also believe, and so we also speak. You believe in Jesus? It's easy to shake your head this way. All of us, if I went and asked each one of you, do you believe in Jesus? We'd all say yes. But here Paul, he's quoting scripture. And then after he quotes the scripture, he affirms, this is applicable to us. We also believe, and therefore we speak. And the point of it is, if we really, really believe in Jesus, then we will speak. We'll open up our mouths and tell other people about Jesus. We'll lift up our flag so that people will be drawn to Him. And of course, another way we lift up our banner, we won't say a lot about it here tonight, but another way is by the lives that we live. It's one thing to open up your mouth and speak, and we want everyone to do that. But we only want those who are living according to the gospel to open up their mouths and speak. That's the only way that you can draw people to Jesus, is you have to first make sure that you're living according to the gospel. That's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, remember how he started that? Ephesians chapter 4 and at verse 1. Listen to what Paul says. Ephesians 4 and the verses 1. He says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." Notice there, we have to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. Then we're in position to lift Jesus up and try to draw other people to Jesus. Well, clearly, not everyone is doing this. Not everyone in Christ is willing to lift up the royal banner. And why not? Why isn't it that each and every one of us won't lift Jesus up? Why is it that some of us don't want to be identified with our flag? And there's a few reasons why. The one that jumps out is because we're ashamed. For one reason or another, we're ashamed to be identified with Christ. That should never be the case, but sadly it just is, and it always has been. We have seen in recent weeks in sermons where individuals who weren't Christians, but during the ministry of Christ, who actually believed in Jesus, but they refused to confess Jesus. Because for one reason, they didn't want to be thrown out of the synagogue and lose that social life. But they were ashamed of Jesus. They demonstrated that by their actions, by their unwillingness to confess Jesus Christ and to be identified with Him. But the fact of the matter is, even in the body of Christ today, there are some who are ashamed of some part or portion of Jesus. It might be the doctrine of Christ. It might be the church of Christ. It might be the moral living of Christ. There are all kinds of things that in this ungodly world in which we live, we know that as Christians, that living by the gospel is contrary to the ideas and the beliefs of the majority of people, and some Christians won't lift up the flag because of that. They don't want to be associated with Jesus. I tell you, you didn't feel like that, Paul. Romans 1 at verse 16, of course, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And that's how we should all feel. And those are the only ones that will lift up the royal banner. Those who can say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of any part of the gospel. Anything that is taught within the gospel, I'm not ashamed of it. That was Paul. It should be us too. In Philippians chapter 1, you might remember. Philippians chapter 1 and at verse 20. Turn your Bibles there just for a moment. Philippians, the first chapter. And at verse 20, Paul writes this. He says, it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. The King James says he'll be magnified. I'll magnify Christ. Paul was willing to lift up the royal banner because he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed that Jesus went to the cross and suffered. A lot of Jews rejected Jesus Christ and would have nothing to do with the idea of following Jesus because he died on a tree. Paul said, and nothing I will be ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of the doctrine of Christ. He preached it everywhere he went. He wasn't ashamed of the church that Jesus Christ died to build. We cannot be ashamed of anything associated with Jesus. If we are, we'll not lift up our royal banner. And there's other things that get in the way. Sometimes time management can get in our way. Sometimes a lack of confidence, because we spend too much time putting confidence in ourselves instead of allowing Jesus to be our strength. Remember, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you're putting confidence in yourself, that's a deterrent to lifting up the royal banner. At the end of the day, we're in a warfare. We have a flag that needs to be lifted up. And it's the only way that we can continue to have victory. The difference between our warfare and a physical warfare is, in our warfare, we're not out to kill the enemy. We're out to convert the enemy. We want to lift up our flag so people can see Jesus and be drawn unto him. That's the only way that they can come to Christ and ultimately come to the Father. John 6, verses 44 and 45 has something to say about that. But we're the earthen vessels that God uses. Jesus has already been lifted up physically and died on the cross. We need to be lifting him up by preaching the gospel of Christ and never being ashamed of our banner. I hope that will describe all of us here tonight. Are you ashamed of Jesus? You say, no, I'm not. If you're not and you haven't obeyed the gospel, do something about it. Show that you're willing, even tonight, publicly, to identify yourself with Christ by repenting of your sins and being baptized. The water is ready. You can be a soldier in the army of Christ this very night, but you have to obey the gospel of Christ. Of course, if you want to remain in good standing and continue to lift up the flag, You have to walk in the light, be faithful unto death. If you haven't done that, you need to rectify that situation as well. You need to repent and pray God. Come forward and we'll pray for you. We'll do everything we can to encourage you, to help you to do better and to be better. And you'll be helping us as well. Show the courage to do that. Whatever your situation is, get right with God this very night while you have the opportunity, as we together stand and sing.